And so, of course, we want to just say happy Mother's Day. This is always a special and beautiful day. So happy Mother's Day to all of the mothers. We are grateful and thankful for you. None of us would be here without a mother. And so not only do we say happy Mother's Day, we just got to say thank you. So thank you to all the moms. Can we just put our hands together for all the moms? Elizabeth heard of her cousin Mary getting ready to bear the Savior. This is what she said. She said, blessed among women. You are blessed among women. I want to say that to all of you. You are blessed among women. And so I just want to confer a blessing on you just right now. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you would bless every woman here, not just every mother, but every potential mother. I pray that you would bless them. I confer the blessing of God on every single one of them. And it is true. Yes, they got a blessing with their name on it. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. With your Bibles in your hands. Repeating after me, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I will have what it says I will have. I'm a part of Deliverance Temple, where we love by living our vision every day. We connect with our Creator continually. We confess our deliverance consistently. We commit to serve creatively. We communicate Christ's love compassionately. Father God, feed me your word. If you believe you're going to be fed, go ahead and make some noise this morning. So grateful. As I was doing that, I just thought of something. I was able to bless a few people in the building. But what about our online people? So if you're online and you happen to have me or Lady Devon's number, text us right now. And the first two people, we will cash app you $25 or send you $25. Let me say that again. The first two mothers. If you're a mother, text us and we will get that to you. And one other thing before I minister, we do have a mural out there. We hope that you would take pictures with your mother and just enjoy and celebrate this day. The older I get, the more days are important to me to celebrate days. And some people say, well, that's what the world does. Well, why does the world get to celebrate more than we do? No, we're the church. We're the kingdom of God. If anybody should be celebrating, we should be celebrating. So I love days like this where we can celebrate. And so my message is going to be centered around that. I'm going to talk today about godly mothers. Godly mothers. Sometimes we take it for granted that everybody has or had a godly mother. But it's not true. Not everybody is graced to have a godly mother. I've been blessed that I grew up with a godly mother, and I married a woman who is a godly mother to my children. And so what we're going to do, we're going to talk about godly mothers because it's quite important. And those of us who are men today, we can just focus on the godliness because godliness is important for all things and for all people. All right, and so I'm going to have him put up a quote by Abraham Lincoln, and it says this: no man is poor who has a godly mother. No matter what you have in your bank account, no matter what you drive, no matter how big your house is, if you are blessed enough to have a godly mother, you are rich because a godly mother makes a godly difference. And many of us here today, when we look back over our lives, we can say we have had a godly mother. And those of us who can say, I did not have a godly mother, many times you were introduced to a godly woman who mothered you, who championed you. That's why it's so beautiful to come to the house of God where there is the church mothers that love you and nurture you. Now, back in the day, there was some mean church mothers. I ain't talking about them. I'm talking about the good, godly church mothers that would bless you and give you a peppermint out of her pocket, and out of her purse that tastes like white diamonds, but thank God for the peppermint. Just, just loving on you. Nothing like being around godly women and godly people in general. So what we're going to do, we're going to break it down to five characteristics of a godly mother. And as we go through these things, we're going to do it by a comparing and a contrast, because I'm going to bring up women in the Bible who showed areas where they were not godly. So we're going to have godly mothers, and then we're going to have some of those who were not godly, so we can compare and contrast. So somebody say, let's roll, Pastor. Let's roll. All right, let's go to number one. Number one, a godly mother, what they do, they set you up for success. A godly mother is a mother who is sacrificial, and they will sacrifice themselves to set you up for success. And a lot of times when you're young, you don't even recognize what your mother is doing, but she's oftentimes trying to propel you into a place of success. And if many of us can say, if we would have listened more, we would have had more success. But many times we want to do it our way, but a godly mother will set you up for success, even if it means they have to sacrifice themselves. Let's start with a very familiar story. Let's look at Exodus 2, 1 through 4. Read that, Mother Mitchell.
Now, a man of the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman.
Now, the Levites were priestly, so that the fact that she was a Levite woman means she was a godly priestly woman. Let's look on verse 2.
And she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months.
The reason why she hid him is because all of the male children were going to be executed because of the word that was sent out by Pharaoh. So look what happens in the next verse.
But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile.
So this is the story of Moses. She actually let him go. Somebody would say, Pastor, I don't really enjoy this day because I am adopted. But you may not understand the reason why she gave you up for adoption is because you would be more successful without her than you was going to be with her. So sometimes they let you go so that you can be successful. Let's go to verse 4.
His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him.
All right, let's go. We'll keep going through verses 5 through 8.
Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her female slave to get it.
All right, verse 6.
She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. This is one of the Hebrew babies, she said.
All right, verse 7.
Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?
Look at verse 8.
Yes, go, she answered. So the girl went and got the baby's mother.
I love how God set this whole thing up. But what's beautiful is that she gave the baby up so that they could be successful, but the baby came back to her in a way. Because God knows how to work things together. So that's the story of Moses, how Moses ended up in Pharaoh's house. And so she set him up for success by being sacrificial. So let's go to point number A, which is the contrast and the comparison. And here it is. They set you up for failure. So one group sets you up for success. This other sets you up for failure. And look at this, Proverbs 5. 3 through 5, it says this.
For the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil.
All right, verse 4.
But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword.
Number 5.
Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on hell.
So there was a godly mother who set Moses up for success. And here we see an ungodly woman that if you hook up with her, she'll lead you to hell. I'll let you study that out for yourself. It tells you specifically what kind of woman it is. I won't bring it up. You can look it up for yourself. But not everybody is godly. And if you hook up with the wrong one, it'll take you on a trip you don't want to go. It'll keep you longer you want to stay. And it'll bring you consequences that you don't want to have. So that's why it's important to celebrate godly women, because if you've ever been around an ungodly woman will take you through so much turmoil, you'll almost lose your mind and lose your life. And if God has ever delivered you from an ungodly woman, you ought to thank the Lord. I'm not just talking about men. Men get hooked up with ungodly women, but sometimes women get hooked up with ungodly women. You got women that you thought was your friend, and you found out she was stabbing you in the back the whole time. You find out that the woman that kept giving you advice about leaving your man, once you left your man, she took your man and ran off with your man. It's nothing like being with an ungodly woman that will wear you out. So thank God and celebrate the godly women. We live in a day and age where we celebrate everybody twerking and everybody doing crazy stuff. Sometimes you got to celebrate a godly woman that knows how to look good and still be covered up. Listen, a man with good eyes can tell what you got. You ain't got to show it all. It's something about a godly woman. All right, let me get off of that before I go left. Number two. This is what a godly mother does. A godly mother, they pass their faith down to their children. Faith is not just theirs alone, but they pass it down to their children. Let's look at 2 Timothy 1, verse 5.
I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also.
Paul was the mentor to Timothy, the mentee. And one thing Paul said about Timothy is, I know you got something in you, not because of you, but I know what your grandma had in you, in her. And your grandma passed it to your mama. And I know what your mama got, and I believe it's in you. That's why sometimes you see people outside acting a fool, and you ask them, who are you? Who your mama near? Oh, you don't need to be acting like that, because I know what your grandma had in her. I know what your mama had in her. They had too much in them for you to be acting the way you act. And it's one thing about a mother and a grandmother. They go through great lengths to pass on what they have to that next generation. Sometimes they even do it better than men. Sometimes men, we're so concerned about providing for the family, which is good, and protecting the family. But sometimes men forget the spiritual aspect. And oftentimes in the homes, it is the women who pray with the kids. It is the women who anoint the kids. It is the women who anoint the beds and the socks and the underwear. And while they're washing the clothes, it's the woman who's praying over things. Many times and the idea of husband is a man who holds the house together, but many times it's not the husbanding it together, it's the godly woman that is holding everything together. So once again, we need to celebrate godly mothers and godly women. All right, verse number 6.
For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands.
Paul said, yes, I laid my hands on you, but I know what I'm doing. When I'm laying my hands on you, I'm just extending what your mama put in you. And so what I'm asking you to do is to fan into flames what you have. I want to tell you, those of you who know you were raised around a godly mother, I want you to fan into flames what you got. Just to throw it out there, if Sister K was godly, that means, Jasmine, you got to take what Sister K has and you got to turn it up a notch, and you got to be Sister K in your generation. You got to take what you have and you got to stir it up. To Sister Kelly, we know that Mother Bacon was a godly woman. So Sister Kelly has got to take what Mother Bacon has and pass down through her mama, and she's got to stir it up and fan it into flames. But the same thing for you men. You got to take what mama had and what mama gave you. And unfortunately, we live in a generation where we've grown up with a lot of deadbeat dads. And sometimes people are acting a fool because I didn't have no daddy. But you had a praying mama. You had a mother there. So you can't just throw in the towel. You got to stand up and you got to stir up what's been put in you. All right. So now we're going to go to something we read on last week. So let's do the contrast point. B is this, they pass threats down to others. So the godly woman passes her faith down, but an ungodly one passes down threats. Let's read what we read on last week, and I'll just go ahead and read it to make it quicker. 1 Kings 19:2 says, "So Jezebel sent this message to Elijah, 'May the God strike me and even kill me if by this time tomorrow I have not killed you just as I killed them.'" Jezebel is hurling threats while this other woman is passing down, Lois and Eunice is passing down faith. What are you going to do for your kids? Are you going to pass down faith or are you going to pass down threatening? There was a woman, it's not in my scripture, but let me just throw this out there. There was a woman that John the Baptist had to deal with. And John the Baptist had got on her and her man because her man was not her man. Her man was her brother's man. She was with the wrong man, and John the Baptist spoke up about it, and she didn't like it. And so one time there was a dance getting ready, or a feast getting ready to happen, and this dance happened from this girl's daughter, and the man said, "I'll give you anything you want, up to half my kingdom." So she went to her mama to say, "What should I ask for?" And her mama said, "Ask for John the Baptist's head on a platter." Of all the things she could have got, her wicked mama said, "Have him slaughtered." And that's what ended up happening. John the Baptist had his head cut off because some ungodly woman who couldn't stand somebody telling her the truth got an attitude with the truth and made a mess of everything because she didn't like the truth. One thing about a godly woman don't mind hearing the truth. But an ungodly woman, you can't tell them nothing. I don't care how right you are and how wrong they are. They'll find a way to defend it and act like they're the victim. This age calls it gaslighting. They'll gaslight you, act like you're the problem because you told them the truth. So once again, we need to celebrate godly mothers and godly women because the ungodly is a trip. Now, I know you was taught that women are sugar and spice and everything nice. But if they don't follow the Holy Ghost, all right, enough of that. Y'all know some of y'all done been around some ungodly women. And unfortunately, some of y'all have met some ungodly women in the church, not in the world. Folk that won't talk to you outside of the building. They'll smile at you here, but see them in Walmart. They'll act like they didn't see you. Talking about ungodly. All right, let's go back to the godly ones, the godly mothers. Let's go to point number three. They find favor and bring favor. In other words, their favor coming and favor going. They get favor and they give favor. Let's look at Luke 1:26, and this is the mother of the Lord. This is what the angel was saying to her, so let's read this.
In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee.
All right.
To a virgin named Mary, she was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David.
All right, let's see what the angel said to her.
Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you."
I just want to stop and borrow Gabriel's words for some of you godly women. I just want to say the same to you. Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you. I know you've struggled through your life, but I'm here to tell you the Lord is with you. I know folk done lied on you, but I'm here to tell you the Lord is with you. I know some folk walked out of your life, but I'm here to tell you the Lord is with you. And when the Lord is with you, the tables have to turn at some point. It may have been rough up until this point, but because the Lord is with you and the favor of God is on you, life has to shift in your favor. If you are a godly woman, just say, "It's shifting in my favor." All right, let's look at the next verse, verse 29.
Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean.
Here's the thing, if you haven't quite seen it yet, when you get a blessing like that or a blessing with words, sometimes you don't even know. You're confused. So she was a little confused. Look at what it says in verse 30.
"Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, for you have found favor with God.
I want to tell you, I want to change it up a little bit. Don't be scared, you godly women, because you have found favor with the Lord. Your tears are not empty tears. You found favor with the Lord. Your troubles is not empty troubles. You found favor with the Lord. And let me talk to you, mothers. Sometimes the reason why you've had trouble is nothing you've done. Sometimes it's the things your children have done. But I'm here to let you know that you found favor with the Lord. And God is looking to bless you not just on Mother's Day, but beyond, to turn things in your favor. And then this is what it says, verse 31.
You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus.
Oh, this is when Mary found out what was going on. But let me tell you, you're not carrying Jesus, but you are carrying a purpose. Yes. And the reason why you have been fought is because you have purpose on the inside of you. Years ago, before as a pastor, I preached a message called Pregnant with Purpose. And position for promise. I need to tell somebody, you are pregnant with purpose. And you are positioned for a promise. So even though you've got some labor pains, they're good pains. Many of you understand it when you were in the time of the 9 months of bearing a child. You're in the time of it. So I can't tell your story because I don't know you. But let me just talk from my wife's perspective. Early in the morning sickness, she was throwing up often. And she does not like throw up, doesn't like cleaning throw up because it will make her throw up more. So I was cleaning up behind her as she would throw up in the morning sickness. And then there was the late pains and the early pains. And there's some pains called like preeclampsia or pains that are like, they're not quite labor, yeah, Braxton Hinton, not quite labor pains, but they feel the same. I don't know all y'all go through to produce what you produce, but what I do know is when they put the baby on your breast and on your chest, there is a love that happens that's beyond the pain. So I'm not just talking about physical labor, but I want to talk about the labor of your life, how you've gone through hell and high water, how you had situations that made you want to throw up, how folk have done you wrong. But I'm here to tell you, joy is coming. The Bible says it this way, weeping may endure for a night, but joy is coming in the morning. You're going to have a dancing day. You're going to have a happy day. You're going to have a smiling day. It won't be rough forever because you're producing something. All right. And so this is what the scripture goes on to say to men. It says this.
He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord.
Here's the thing. Because favor is on her. If you hook up with her, you get favor. Now, unfortunately, if she's not godly and favor's not on her, whatever you got on her is going to get on you. Oh, Lord, Lord, Lord. Some people have favor. Some people have STD. Don't hook up with the wrong thing at the wrong time. So you can have the favor of the Lord. All right, enough. All right, let's go on to see. Here's the opposite of the favor. You have those, they bring a curse. They bring on the curse. Have you ever, this is not just for ungodly women. When I'm talking about ungodly women, I'm really talking about ungodly men too, anybody ungodly. But have you ever been in a space where it's a peaceful space, then somebody else enters in the space and the whole atmosphere shifts? It's just a demonic atmosphere. And there's some things you can't just pray away. You just got to leave. Because they usher in a curse. They bring stuff in. There's a movie out now called Sinners. And in the movie Sinners, there are those who get infected with the vampire spirit. And those vampires are trying to get in
to where the people are not infected and they want to get in, and the folk not affected say, no, you got to stay out there. There's some folk that will bring a curse in your life. You got to say, no, you got to stay out there. I don't mean to be mean. I don't mean to be hateful, but I can't hook up with everybody, can't go with everybody. I can't be with everybody, because some people will bring a curse instead of favor. Now, if curses and favor are competing against each other, guess what you're doing? You're wasting your favor. You're wasting your favor. I need to be around something where my favor can flourish. So I can't be around somebody who's bringing in the curse. So let's go all the way to the beginning and find, this is not necessarily an ungodly woman, but she had a tragic, ungodly moment that affected all of us. They call her the mother of all living. Let's look at Genesis 3, verse 6. Read that.
The woman was convinced. She saw that the tree was beautiful and its fruit looked delicious, and she wanted the wisdom it would give her. So she took some of the fruit and ate it. Then she gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it too.
Oh, Lord, all of our troubles can be traced back to this point. Where this woman, and yes, she was deceived, but she grabbed what she shouldn't grab. And being the weak man that he was, instead of coveting and protecting her, he took two. And guess what? The curse entered into the world. Let's look at verse 7 and look at what it says in the first three words.
At that moment.
At that moment. There are some people that the moment they show up, they bring the curse. All right, read. At that moment,
their eyes were opened and they suddenly felt shame at their nakedness. So they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves.
Well, now they have to cover their sin. Now they are ashamed. And so we got to make up in our mind, we just cannot be around ungodly people. Now, what we're not talking about is ungodly people who know they're ungodly and know they need help. That's not what we're talking about, because we communicate Christ's love compassionately. We're talking about ungodly people who have no plan on shifting away from their ungodliness. They would rather bring you down to where they are than them come up to where you are. So sometimes you just got to distance yourself. Oh, you saints are too judgy. Yes, yes, some saints are too judgy. But the Bible does not say you cannot judge. Only God can judge me. The Bible didn't say that. Tupac said that. What the Bible says is, judge not lest you be judged. In other words, it says the same level of judgment you give out, you have to be willing to take. And so there are some righteous judgments. If I meet you and you tell me, hey, I love the Lord, but I like to molest children, I need to turn you in. No, don't judge me. No, I'm going to judge you, and I'm going to call the authorities, because you have something in you that's too ungodly to play around with. So don't act like you can't judge people. You just have to judge them righteously. Not unrighteously, but righteously. Now, hopefully you're trying to get that person help. But here's the thing that we've learned as we've grown older. Some people just don't want help. And one of the worst things you can do is keep helping somebody who don't want to be helped. You got to learn how to help yourself so that they don't drag you down. We're moving right along. Let's go on to number 4. This is what godly mothers do. They respond with praise and gratitude. Let me tell you something. Every mother here can complain about something. There's mothers here that could complain every day of their life. There's a couple of them here that I can just think of what they've gone through. They could be complaining. There's some mothers here that shouldn't even be sitting here because of what they've gone through. But it's something about a godly mother. They find a way to praise even when it looks like they shouldn't be praised. I'm trying to skirt around the issue, but let me just go ahead and just bring it home. Sister Krista ain't got no business being here, but she got a praise in her spirit. Mother Kay ain't got no business being here. Sometimes we forget what Mother Kay has gone through. She ain't got no business being here on Mother's Day. But you can't stop a godly mother from praising the Lord. Because at the end of the day, God is all they got. I can tell some more of y'all stories. I'm just lifting some of them out. But many of y'all, when you look in the mirror, you are surprised you're still standing. You're surprised you're still here. But there's just something. Woo, there's just something in you. There's stuff that don't make sense. Like, I got a feeling everything gonna be all right. Girl, you got to be crazy. All you've been through. But I got the feeling everything gonna be all right. What about victory is mine? Victory is mine. I told Satan, get thee behind, because victory today is mine. You ain't got no business singing songs like that. You ain't got no business singing songs like, all my life you have been faithful. But here's the thing, I don't praise from my head. I praise from my spirit. And the reason why I'm godly is because God is in my spirit. And if God is in my spirit, you can't stop my praise. You can't stop my hallelujah. Some of y'all, your kids are not doing what you want your kids to do. Some of y'all, your husbands are not doing what you want them to do. Your boss is not doing what you want them to do. But you still praising the Lord. You still thanking the Lord. And that's why God sent me to tell you, blessing is on the way for you. You can't praise God this long without him blessing you. Because when praises go up, blessings come down. So keep on praising the Lord. If for no other reason from what we said before, your children are watching you. And the praise that you have is going down to them. It's going to get in their spirit. And some of y'all, your situation may not change for you right away. It may be your child that hit it big. Do you know that there is a lady with the last name of James who had a man walk out on her and left her with a baby? But the baby grew up to be LeBron James, who was a billionaire. So here's the thing. Sometimes what the devil did to stop you is the very thing God will use to propel you into your future. It's going to be okay. I'm going to be okay. It's going to be all right. I'm going to be all right. I'm going to praise the Lord. I'm going to give them praise, not just on Sunday morning, not just in Mother's Day, but I'm going to praise the Lord. And if you ever been around a godly woman, you'll find them moaning in the midnight hour. What are they saying? There's just a moan. There's a praise. Mother Mabel Woods was talking about call for the moaning women, the cunning women, the praying women. It's something about godly women. And unfortunately, especially in the church, they act like women only supposed to sit in the pews, that they can't do nothing. I'm so grateful we got a ministry where the women can talk, because the women got something to say. They are important, and I'm grateful for the godly ones. So they respond with praise and gratitude. Let's look at 1 Samuel 2:1. This is Hannah, who was praying for a baby, couldn't have a baby, finally had a baby, and was so beautiful that she gave her baby back to the Lord, which is where we get the christening from. Let's look what she says in verse 1.
Then Hannah prayed, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. The Lord has made me strong. Now I have an answer for my enemies. I rejoice because you rescued me.
Oh, you rescued me. In other words, there's two things in the scripture. There is the enemy and there is the rescue. You can focus on the enemy or you can focus on the rescue. Hannah said, I'm going to focus on the rescue. And the reason why I'm here is because the Lord has rescued me. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Those who have been redeemed from the hand of the enemy or rescued. Let's go back to Mary, the mother of Jesus. Let's look at Luke 1:46. Let's see how she responded.
Mary responded, "Oh, how my soul praises the Lord."
Oh, wait a second. I just thought that was a testimony saying, but it's really what Mary said. Mary said, "Oh, my soul praises the Lord." But the testifier would say it this way, first giving honor to God. who's the head of my life. And then they would say something like this. They'd say, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. I thank God for saving me. Listen, that's the same thing Mary is saying. Let's go on to verse 47.
How my spirit rejoices in God my Savior.
It's a spiritual thing. That's why I don't have to be in church to be praising, because it's a spiritual thing. My spirit rejoices. I wake up with a praise. Have you ever woke up with a praise in your spirit? Have you ever heard a song and you haven't heard it in a long time and it's just down in your spirit? My spirit praises the Lord. Why does your spirit praise the Lord? Because if you look other places, you'll find out that there are those who have a broken spirit, where the devil is trying to break and crush their spirit. But when you're godly, you're like baby's kids. You don't die, you multiply. Oh, my spirit can't die. It multiplies. I don't get weaker, I get stronger. I should be crying, but I'm yet praising, because my spirit has been infected by the Lord. I'm a godly woman. I'm a godly mother. I'm a godly saint of the Most High God. All right, look at what she says, verse 48.
For he took notice of his lowly servant girl, and from now on all generations will call me blessed.
She thought about it. I really ain't nobody, but God looked on me. I'm just a nobody trying to tell somebody about it. Trying to tell everybody about a somebody who can save anybody. And the reason why I'm blessed is because I know I'm a nobody, but I found the only somebody that makes a difference. And so since I have the somebody, I'm no longer a nobody. And so you may think I'm a nobody. I may look like a nobody because I don't drive the car my pastor drives. Actually, I'm on the midst bus, but baby, on the midst bus, I'm still somebody, because I'm a child of the King. Where I drive and what I wear and where I live is not a bearing on who I am. Because if you look in my spirit, I'm wealthy in my spirit, because I know God. And because I know God, he owns the cattle on a thousand hills. And if he gets ready, he can turn my situation around. And just in case I stay in section 8 till I die, when I cross over, I got a mansion over in glory. I'm going to be what God called me to be, because what God has for me, it is for me. That's what a godly woman knows. She's going to praise God anyhow. Look at the last part of what Mary says.
For the mighty one is holy, and he has done great things for me.
He has done great things for me. He has done great things. You remember that song? He has done great things. He has done great things. Praise his holy name. Guess what? He's done great things. And he's doing great things. And it may not show the greatness yet, but if I keep on living, you're going to see the greatness in my life. Oh, I'm going to be what God called me to be. I'm going to make it out of my situation, because I'm a godly woman. I'm a godly mother. I'm a godly saint of the Most High God. All right. Let's flip it, though. This is what the ungodly sometimes do. Now, this person, I wouldn't say that they were ungodly. They had an ungodly moment. They respond with poor advice. These other women, they responded with praise. But sometimes when you're not hooked up with God right, you respond with poor advice. Now, I feel sorry for the person we're going to go to next, because they was going through a lot, but they still showed up with the wrong advice. Look at what it says in Job 2:8. It says what?
Then Job took a piece of broken pottery and scraped himself with it as he sat among the ashes.
Look at what the next verse said.
His wife said to him, are you still maintaining your integrity? Curse God and die.
Oh, she came up with some bad advice. Now, I feel bad for her, because her husband was going through. She lost the kids too. You just act like Job was the only one going through. Those were her kids too. So she was going through, but thank God she had a godly man. Because her advice was just curse God and die. It ain't even worth it. You still trying to hold on to your integrity? And I want to talk to some of y'all godly people where somebody's whispering in your ear, why don't you let go of God? He ain't been good to you. Why don't you just curse God and die? But Job responded, you talk like a foolish woman. You may not be a fool altogether, but you can have a momentary insanity. I can't let go of God, even though I'm struggling, because he's all I got right now. I can't take your poor advice. I can't take your bad advice. I got to trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will hope in the Lord. I will believe in the Lord. I'm going to try God, even when it hurts. I can't take your advice.
Amen.
And sometimes people feel like they're giving you the best advice. Listen, just get on away from that church. Just leave. Listen, Pastor Andre don't know what you're going through. He always up here talking about hope and all this stuff. He got a wife and you single and you ain't got nobody. You need to go somewhere where somebody understands you. I understand you too, but God told me to tell you to hold on to his unchanging hand. Don't give up, because if you give up, you'll never see what's on the end of the journey. If the journey is difficult, if the journey is hard, if the journey is rough, there's usually a high probability that the reward is great, that the reward is awesome. So if you give up in the middle of the journey, you will never see the reward. And God wants me to remind you to hold on. So I can't give you the bad advice. Curse God and die. Guess what? Sometimes that's what I wanted to get up here and say. I wanted to say, let's all shut the doors and do something else. Because obviously this ain't working. Meet me down at the liquor store and it's around on me and around on you, because this is not working. But every time I tried to turn it loose, faith would spring up in me. Every time I thought about quitting, faith would spring up in me. And the reason why God would give me faith is not just for me, but for you. Because you have a destination and you have a place that you're supposed to be. And guess what? We got to come together and believe together, because the godly will not be left hurting forever. All right. Here's number five, the fifth one. This is what the godly do, going all the way back to the first one, how they pass the faith down. This is how they do it. They teach it. They teach their children godliness.
Amen.
Not just modeling it, but they actually teach it. It's something when a mother begins to teach. It's beautiful. Now of course, I'm talking from my spiritual knowledge, because I don't know this, but it seems to me it would be beautiful as a mother grows older and her daughter grows older, that they have conversations, not just as mother and daughter, but as friend, where mama is teaching them what it costs to be a woman in this day and age, what it costs. And sometimes in order to teach your children, you got to tell them where you messed up. Oh, Lord, sometimes the church folk, we get saved and act like we ain't never done nothing. Act like the moment you got saved, everything changed. You don't want to tell them, I got saved and I had sex a few more times after I got saved. To be honest, for the first 15 years of my salvation, I was fornicating, but God kept me. But this is what they want to say. No, baby, just be a peach out of reach. You wasn't a peach out of reach. Tell the truth. I struggled, but God brought me out. I went through, but God brought me out. Now, sometimes it's the mother to the sons. Sometimes the reason why your son keeps getting these janky women, because you ain't never explained to him that you was a janky woman, and you know it when you see it. Baby, she's a gold digger. How you know? Because I used to dig for gold myself. So I'm trying to warn you. I'm trying to teach you. Hey, But on the flip side, it's some women that was in church that were virgins. But tell the truth, you were a virgin until you got married, but baby, your thought life was out of control. Yeah, I made it, but honey, I had night sweats for nights and for weeks, but God turned it around. Teach your children. Let them know what it costs to be godly, because it costs to be godly, but all the reward is great. Teach. Now, here's another thing. Not all of your children are your physical children. Sometimes it's the children in the neighborhood. It's the children in church. Sometimes it's people that are close in age to you, but as it relates to your spiritual maturity, they are children to you, and so you pour into them. In other words, there's no reason why folk who come to church should leave church and not have a lifeline. In other words, I can't make it. Somebody needs to rally around alongside them. Now, when you rally alongside, you don't always fuss at them. Oh, quit all that crying. You can make it. No, sometimes just listen to them. Sometimes just hug them and hold them. Sometimes just hold the phone and listen. Because sometimes if they can just articulate it, they can be better. Sometimes people have told me, oh, you helped me through my hardest time. And all I did was held the phone. All I did was listen. Just be a listening ear. But teach that next generation. One of the worst scriptures in the Bible says that there was a generation that grew up and they knew not the Lord. It seems like you would blame that generation, but it means the previous generation didn't hand the baton down. So let's go ahead and let's move on. Let's look at Deuteronomy 6.
And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart.
All right. Look at verse 7.
You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way. And when you lie down and when you rise.
Yes, you're teaching to your children. Now, let me say something that I've kind of struggled with. So we're not in a day and age of Sunday school and all that like I grew up in. I knew all the Old Testament scriptures. I mean, not the books of the Bible. I knew them all the way. I learned all that stuff. And so my kids don't get that. So sometimes I wonder, am I shortchanging my kids? They don't get all the stuff that we got. But one time I was just asking them something. I asked both Draylen and Dylan, they were about 11, 12. I asked them, what does it take to be saved? Just tell me. And they articulated the plan of salvation so beautiful, it scared me. And I asked the other one, and they were saying that they couldn't go me to take me to scripture in chapter and verse because they don't learn it like we did. And it's because of the rat race life that we live. It's hard to force all the scripture that we learned when we were young. But one thing I learned, a lot of folk grew up in church with me, and they ain't in church. They learned all that stuff too, and they not in church. So it's not about you forcing in them. So what God was telling me, he said, the reason why they can articulate it is because you live it. You may not be able to teach it, but if you live it, they'll catch it. Some revelation is caught and some is taught. Sometimes you don't have time. Listen, the way this world is made up, they'll make you work 12 hours a day. Your normal shift is a 12-hour shift. It's hard to sit down and teach your kids the Bible, but if you would live it, I guarantee you they'll catch it. There are times they'll be away from you and they'll hear it. They'll know it because you are teaching it. You are showing them. So don't be like me and feel like you're letting your children down because you can't teach it like you were taught in the old ways, but live it. So there's some little things that we would do confessions. I wouldn't have time to tell them where all the verses were, but just repeat after me. That's why when we come here in church, we repeat confessions. Those things get down into your children's spirit. You are teaching them, but there's several different ways to teach. And so this leads us to this scripture. It's very famous and familiar. Read it. Proverbs 22:6.
Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it.
All right. This brings us to our last, and here's the negative side. We're actually closing a little bit on the negative side. Here it is. They teach their children ungodliness. So while we are teaching our children godliness, there are those who teach their children ungodliness. And I have a scripture that all of us who are Bible scholars would know and remember, but let's just look it up. Let's look at Genesis 27, verse 5.
Now, Rebekah was listening when Isaac spoke to his son Esau.
And Rebekah was nosy and she was eavesdropping. Let me go ahead and put it in my vernacular. She was being nosy and messy. All right, read.
So when Esau went to the field to hunt for game and bring it.
All right, look at verse 6 says.
Rebekah said to her son, Jacob, I heard your father speak to your brother Esau.
I know some information. All right, look at verse 8.
Now therefore, my son, obey my voice as I command you.
Oh, we hard on Jacob, but Jacob didn't get it out of thin air.
That's right.
His mama taught him. Let me pause and say this. Sometimes one of the worst things you can get is get hooked up with a mama's boy. Because sometimes that mama done taught him all them evil ways. And you run into her complaining about him, not knowing she the one who taught him all that junk. All that messiness, all that sneakiness, all that conniving. Men are sneaky, but they ain't really smart sneaky. When you find a man that's sneaky, sneaky, some woman done taught him something. Jacob got this junk from his mama. She said, obey my voice. Do what I command you. Let's look at the next verse, verse 9.
Go to the flock and bring me 2 good young goats so that I may prepare from them delicious food for your father, such as he loved.
If you know the story, Esau was the oldest, so he was supposed to get the blessing. And in order to get the blessing, Isaac told Esau, go and get some food and cook it for me. So mama's like, I'm going to cook it up because I know how he like it. But while Esau was out there working, Rebekah was in there conniving. Woo, that's another thing. While you working, somebody is somewhere conniving and scheming. All right, let's look at verse 10.
And you shall bring it to your father to eat so that he may bless you before he dies.
We're going to put an old okey-doke on him so he bless you before he dies. We're not going to read the rest of it. You can study it on your own. But the point is, some are teaching godliness and others are teaching ungodliness. Now, here's the thing about Rebekah. Rebekah was a woman of God. So sometimes you can be a woman of God and slip over into ungodliness. So you've got to make sure you do it right. And I heard Sister Trish just say something was right where I'm going. So we're going to go ahead and go to the conclusion. And here's the conclusion. I'm going to put it up there. This is the conclusion. Godliness is a choice. Let me tell you something. Everybody in here, we've all had moments of ungodliness. Because godliness is a choice that we have to continually choose. And so we're celebrating you for being godly because you've made more godly choices than you've made ungodly. But guess what? Tomorrow's still not promised. You still got to keep making godly choices. I'm a godly man until I get in traffic. Jesus. Sometimes I lose my godliness. I got to keep making the choice of godliness. So this is for all of us. Let's look at 1 Timothy 4 and 7. I'll read this. And so we start off with Timothy before, and we're coming back to Timothy. It says this: have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. While you go into Planet Fitness, going to the Y, and working out your body, you got to be working on your godliness. Because the scripture says, bodily exercise, it profits little. It does profit, but it profits little. But godliness is a profit to all. So we have to train ourselves in godliness. I mean, sometimes you're going to have to fast when I haven't called a fast. I haven't called a fast in almost 10 years. Does that mean you shouldn't be fasting? No. No, you need to figure out your own godliness. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You need to be godly so that you can be a godly mother, godly father, godly whatever. Whatever. Let's look at verse 8. This is how we're going to close. It says this. For while bodily training, which is what I just quoted, is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise, here's the point, for the present life and also for the life to come. See, you're in a job interview. You're in a lifelong job interview. And it's not for a job today while you're living. It's a job for tomorrow when you're no longer breathing on this side and you wake up on that side. What you have done in the interview process makes a difference. There's one song that says, only what you do for Christ is going to last. And so choose godliness. Train yourself in godliness. And when you fall, like we all sometimes do, the scripture says it this way, a righteous man falls 7 times, but he gets up 8. Yeah. All right? We're going to go into our confession, but before we do that, we're just going to bow our heads and we're going to pray. And we're going to repent from ungodliness. And we're going to ask God to make us godly. Father God, in the precious name of Jesus, as we have spoken to these mothers, these godly mothers, and encouraged them to be godly and shown the opposite, which is ungodliness, it convicts all of us that we have sometimes walked in ungodliness. But God, we repent of our ungodliness. And on this Mother's Day in 2025, we make a move back toward godliness. And we want to train others toward godliness by our life being godly and our deeds being godly, our thoughts and our actions being godly. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And somebody say,
amen.
All right, stand to your feet. Let's do this confession and then we will go home. Here's our confession. Let's do it together. I won't read it first. We'll do it together. Father, I thank you for all of the godly women in my life. Help me to celebrate them, not just on Mother's Day, but every day. Amen. Amen and amen. One more final prayer. Let's pray. Again, this time we will pray for you mothers. Father God, in the precious name of Jesus, for these mothers, God, who've been through all kinds of things in their journey as mothers. God, you told me to speak a blessing over them and to prophesy a blessing over them. And the blessing may look different for different people, but once again, we command the blessing. And since we command the blessing, we command the devil. And we tell him every satanic and demonic plan that he has is canceled, it's cursed, it's brought to nothing, it's brought to dust. These are godly mothers and they're godly women, and they will go on in the grace, the mercy, and the power of the Lord. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you. Have a great week.